Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, as much as I wish I could say that I arranged with God for it to rain about half of the last month, just to make sure that I could use this illustration for today, I don't exactly have that kind of clout. To paraphrase many others, I'm in marketing, and that's management. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What happens to the water when it rains? To the soil? To the plants? It's an amazing thing to watch when the rain falls on dry ground, when the grass has nearly withered away from lack of water. The plants have all but turned brown, the leaves shriveling up to hold in their little remaining amount of moisture. The ground may even start to crack apart if it has grown dry enough. And then, suddenly, the rain starts to fall. A little at first, only a few drops, but increasing gradually until those first few sprinkles have turned into a downpour covering the earth. The water pours down and the dry land soaks it up greedily, the plants drawing in the moisture and turning a lush, verdant green. Flowers start to bloom almost immediately where there had been nothing before. Leaves spread out. The water fills in the cracks in the ground until it pools up in the lower depressions. Within a day, you can walk outside and the world has almost entirely transformed from brown to green, from dead and dying to flourishing life. That is what God's word does, Isaiah promises in our Old Testament reading. As the rain turns dead land to life, so God's word turns dead people to living ones. In Isaiah chapter 55, our Old Testament reading for today, God, through Isaiah, gives us the great comfort of knowing that his word does not return to him empty. His word comes down and it will do what it is supposed to do. It must accomplish the purpose that God has set for it. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Now, this shouldn't come as any sort of a shock for us, of course. God's word has been accomplishing its purpose ever since the first word that he spoke. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. But for as powerful as that word of creation is, that happened at the beginning of the world, so many thousands of years ago. This is right here, right now, for us. That is the incredible creative power that would be at work for us. And yet, that idea sounds just a little bit far-fetched. Now, to understand what this means for us, that God's word will always accomplish its purpose, we need to start by looking at God's word, what it is, and what it does. So there are three different ways that we can receive God's word that I want to talk about for today. First, let's consider the written word. God's word written down in the Bible for you and I to read and to understand, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest. Over a period of around 2 millennia, give or take, about 40 to 50 different human authors were all inspired by the Holy Spirit to write down the words that God gave them to write. 2 millennia, give or take, from about 1400 BC to 100 AD. So 1,500 years. That's over 31,000 verses divided into 1,189 chapters, collected in 66 books, divided into two testaments, all of them giving one message, all a part of one single narrative of what God has done. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible tells a single narrative. God created the world to be good, and yet man ruined it through sin. Then God promised to restore that goodness despite man's continual failures to live up to everything that God promised, everything that God intended. God restored creation by his own action in the person of Jesus Christ, born as a human being 2,000 years ago, who lived a human life, died a human death, rose to new life, and who himself restores creation, a restoration that will be finally, fully completed only at the end of time in the new heavens and the new earth. That's a message that we receive every time we open the Bible, no matter where we turn to, we read that same message, that same narrative opened up for us. This comes especially in reading the Bible privately at home or with our family, which is one of the reasons why we have the Bible in a Year reading plan in the bulletin every week, so that you can open up the Bible by yourself or with your family to follow along that biblical narrative. But we also experience the written word when we read personal devotion books like Portals of Prayer or others. Whenever we read the Bible, wherever we are, however we read it, it strengthens our faith and encourages us, drawing us deeper into relationship with Him. The written word of God is important and valuable for our faith, yet it is not the only way that we receive God's word. Paul says in Romans chapter 10 that faith comes from hearing. And so we also need to hear God's word spoken to us, that second way that we receive God's word. Because there is something different about hearing as opposed to simply reading God's word. Spoken words, music, work on us on a far different level than if we simply see something on a page somewhere. And that, I think, is why Paul says that faith comes from hearing. Because hearing the word of God makes a different connection within our mind and makes that connection between us and someone else, whoever is speaking that word to us, a connection formed around God's word. Because we need to hear God's word spoken to us, sometimes more than others, but always we need to hear it. But then you might wonder, what about those who cannot hear? What about those who are deaf or hard of hearing? Can they still receive God's word? And yes, the answer is they can still receive God's word. They can still believe. We can still communicate God's word to them through sign language. But that is why it is so important to learn sign language, include those with hearing impairments in the church, so that they also can hear God's word in a language that they can understand. But there are many different ways that we hear God's word. Earlier in the service, I read God's word aloud for you to hear from our readings for today. During the sermon, I am speaking God's word to you to apply it to your life. At the beginning of our service, I spoke the gospel to you in the words of absolution, that in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We just confessed our faith together aloud to one another in the words of the creed. We speak God's word together as we recite psalms and sing hymns. All of these are ways that we receive and hear and speak God's spoken word. All of these methods bring us the word of God in a way that we can learn and digest. What a blessing it is for us to have people come to us and speak God's word to us. What a blessing it is to ourselves be able to speak God's word to those around us. And what an encouragement it is to speak God's word together with our fellow believers in our worship services, as well as in Bible studies and elsewhere. And even more, what a blessing it is for us that God's word, God promises that his word will always do what God promises that it will do. In our reading, God compares his word to the rain. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it spring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the hearer, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. When it rains, it is amazing to see just how everything greens up within days, within minutes afterwards. In Kansas, the normal way of clearing a pasture at the beginning of spring is to burn off whatever remains from last year of the grass. The smoke would be thick and hazy for weeks from March to April, the moment that people started burning their fields. The fields would be black for days, maybe even weeks after they were burned. But the moment it rained, there would be an explosion of green as everything began to grow again all at once. Black one day and then completely green the next. The rain brings life to areas where there is none. And God's word brings life to us even where we were dead, because that is what we are. We are dead in our trespasses and sins before God's word comes and makes us alive. That is what God's word accomplishes. And God says that his word must accomplish what he sends it to accomplish. It must bring life to his people as we hear and read and receive God's word. Now, what does God's word accomplish? Nothing more or less than creating and sustaining faith. Paul says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. God's word enters into our ear or our eyes, but it doesn't simply stay there. It enters into our heart to create faith and to bring that faith to new life. And as well, God's word strengthens our faith and helps to make it firm. Are you questioning your salvation because of sin? Hear God's word. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sins. Or as Psalm 103 puts it, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Are you wrapped up in grief from loss or death? Then hear the word of God. In Lamentations chapter 3, the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. Then in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Now, We don't always see the effects of God's word in someone's life any more than we always see what the rain is doing as it is coming down. God's word often works on people in secret, in hidden ways. It may take years before the effects of God's word become visible in someone's life. A planted seed may grow for weeks or months or even years underground, laying the roots down before anything rises above the soil. Yet even when that is the case, God's word is still having its intended effect. God's word is still creating and sustaining faith. God's word is still encouraging and bringing together God's people. God's word is still forgiving sins. God's word is still accomplishing his purpose, even when we do not see what it is. Now, if you've been following along, you may have realized that there's something missing. At the beginning of the sermon, I said that there are three ways by which we receive God's word. There's the written word that we receive in the Bible placed in our hands, one. There is the spoken word that we hear from our pastor or fellow believers, which we receive in our ears, two. But what about that third way? The third way that we receive God's word is the one that we will experience in just a few short minutes, when Jesus, the very incarnate word of God, condescends to give himself to us in a visible, physical way that we can taste and touch under the bread and wine of Holy Communion. In the words spoken over the elements, the very words that he himself used on the night that he was betrayed, take, eat, this is my body, take, drink, this is my blood. In the bread and wine that is placed in your hand and in your mouth, to touch and feel the reality, even as it is hidden in these seemingly innocuous means. The very incarnate word of God, which comes down from heaven, enters into your body, and will accomplish the work for which God sends it, to forgive your sins, to strengthen your faith. That where there was once nothing but the death of sin, there might be life, eternal life with him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.